Morning.
Merry Christmas. You know, Scott alluded to some of the terminology issues that the British have problems with, like chips. You know, when you travel somebody and you want to take something along with you in your car, you put it in your boot. And then you change your oil under your bonnet. And when it comes to Christmas, they were the ones that coined the phrase, "Bah humbug." He was a Dickens of a guy. Having said that, Merry Christmas. We're all glad you're here. So today is the 26th. And, you know, we had a Christmas message last week, which I was thankful for. So here we are, day two. And so we're kind of in the middle, pretty close to Christmas. So I thought I'd try to pull together and segue out of Christmas into 2022. It's going to be on us before we know it. And here's a question that I have for every one of us to consider this morning as we look at some of the verses that I have. And the question is, I want you to ask yourself, are you better off now spiritually than you were in 2018 or 2019? Ask yourself that question. We went through 2020. We were at home on Zoom. March of 2020, somebody says, "Are we going to use Zoom?" I said, "What Zoom?" Now it's a way of life, isn't it? So I'm very thankful that we have Zoom. We can have the folks out in Zoom land. Wow, look at that. I can be in two places at once. Technology is amazing. And so I'm welcoming all of the folks out in Zoom land as well. But ask yourself the question, are you better off spiritually today than you were 2018 or 2019? Because 2020 affected us rather dramatically. And we were able to stay together. God gave us the technology to stay together for 2020. I think we only missed 1 week in getting together as a chapel collectively in March, and it was like March 15th or something that we missed. And so since then, we've continued on with Zoom. I'm very thankful for it. We've had good teaching from the platform. The platform was a cyber platform for about a year close to a year. And we're continuing on with Zoom because we feel that it is beneficial for those who can't come out under the circumstances. And of course, Bethany, it's good to have you here from India. And so we're going to maintain Zoom for her benefit and others who can't come in physically. So here we are, the day after Christmas, day two. So I'm going to give you a number, and I want you to think about it. The number is 12,230. Ring a bell?
No.
12,230. Now, this is not accurate. I'm just going off of math based on what we have in the Bible and history. But 12,230 is the number of days that the Lord was on the earth. 33 and a half years multiplied by 365. And I didn't account for leap years or whatever. But it's 12,230. So day two, the Lord had arrived with a mission. The mission was to go to the cross of Calvary. So on day two, there was 12,186 days till the cross. 12,189 days to his resurrection, and 12,230 days to the day that he ascended up into heaven. So when you think about that, it was a defined period of time that he was here in this world. I looked at it from my perspective and your perspective that we were all born, obviously, and God knows exactly what that time frame is for you. whether it's 50,000 days, 40,000 days, 12,000 days, whatever it may be. God knows exactly what that is. Now, God and the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly how long he was going to be here, because in the Bible, he fulfilled prophecies that are right on time all the way through his life. And right up until the cross, he fulfilled the prophecies and fulfilled the will of God for him in his life while he walked this earth. And so there's a very defined time. But life moved on. And so I'm looking at it today that when you take a look at the scripture, day two for us, life is moving on. Christmas 2021 is done. And we enjoyed it, we celebrated it, and we're still celebrating it to a certain extent, but we move on. One of the verses that hit me hard this year, and it has in past as well, was Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And I'm just going to quote it to you. They called his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And that is a statement that I really want to come to grips with. Because you and I were born, I've made these comments before, but when you and I were born, we became a brand new soul that God created. He created the soul, tucked it into this little body of ours. We have grown up to be adults. And so we're walking around these walking containers that have life in it, but inside is our soul, the soul that's going to go on living for eternity. And God created your soul to go on living. And in the case of Jesus Christ, it was different. He always was. He always is. That's why in the Old Testament he could say, I am that I am. It doesn't matter what time of history that you talk about, God is going to be able to say, I am. And so Jesus Christ didn't become a new being. He actually, through the Spirit of God, miraculously entered into Mary and was born of Mary, God himself, who took upon him the form of a human being. That human being was a new body for the Lord Jesus Christ, but as God the Son, he always was and always will be. And so we're looking at God with us back then. Now, when the Lord ascended to heaven, did that change anything? No, because God sent his Spirit into the world, as we have in Acts chapter 2. Remember that at Pentecost, the Spirit of God came in and dwelt, and they were indwelt all of the Jews that were in that room at that time. And then if you go to Acts chapter 8, the Spirit of God indwelt the Samaritans. And then in Acts chapter 10, the Spirit of God indwelt the Gentiles, starting with the family of Cornelius, the centurion. And so there you have the Spirit of God in the Jews and the Gentiles and anything in the middle. The Samaritans were kind of outcasts. And that is the miracle that takes place with you and I. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Spirit of God automatically indwells us. And we're new creatures in Christ. We're all bound together by one spirit into one body. But the thing that we need to recognize is that God with us really is a true fact, because God is with us, indwelling us individually and collectively as the body of Christ. So things haven't changed. So here we are, day two. We're moving on with life. I'd like to just start putting some perspective on coming into 2022. Let's just consider a little bit about 2021. Politically, we're divided. There's turmoil. They're still fussing about January the 6th. They call it insurrection. They call it whatever you want to call it. But that is a thing that's dividing the nation. Race is dividing the nation. On the social side, it's very divided. politically, we're asking questions, what's really going on in Washington? Do they really know what they're doing? You know, there's a lot of question marks. What is it that is being done in Washington to affect us today? Look at what's happening economically. Price of gas has gone from $1.83 to 3.25. One of my customers is a construction company out on Long Island, and he does concrete forms, and he was buying lumber. At one point, he was paying $15 for one 2x4. We've got all these economic pressures on us. I go over the Verrazano Bridge twice a week, and each time I go over the Verrazano Bridge, I look to the north and the south, and there's been upwards of 10 container ships anchored right around the bridge. And we call it supply chain problems. Labor is weird. I mean, I've had a job opening, and it took me 4 months to fill the opening because I had two people sign the letters of offer for them at a substantial salary, and the day they were supposed to show up said, oh, we're not coming. These are the things that are affecting the nation right now. But, you know, we all take a look at this, and we say to ourselves, you know, what's happening? Do we really have problems? What are the problems? This is serious stuff. What is happening to us as Christians when we have our faith being challenged in the courts? We have our faith being challenged when we take a stand for the Word of God. And the Lord is saying, it's going to happen. Always remember that they hated me before they hated you. Why? It's because the nation at large doesn't want to acknowledge the responsibility they have to God. And so we think we've got problems today because of this. I want to compare it to AD 0 or AD 1 to AD 33. You know, everybody says, well, it was a little before AD 1, and I'm not going to get into that. It was a long time ago. But when the Lord was born into this world, the political situation was that the Jews were under bondage to the Romans. And they were politically oppressed. So were the Jews. From a religious perspective, the Romans were there oppressing everybody. They were being taxed beyond what they could afford. Sound familiar? But that was the political situation back then. Now, I don't know what the economic situation was, because I don't know what was contributing to their GNP, the gross national product. I don't know whether it was the price of sandals or the price of being manufactured or the price of wool. I don't know. But the point is that economically, they were being taxed very, very heavily. So in my mind, different circumstances, but the situation hasn't changed any. And so as we go into 2022, we're asking a lot of the same questions that we did in going into 2020, going into 2019 or 2018. Can the stock market keep this charge? Are we going to keep going up? Is this the year that things are going to tank? What's happening to real estate? Is real estate going to tank? What happens if I go to sell my house and it's only worth half the price as it was today? I don't know these things. And so these questions that we're asking going into 2022 are haunting us because we want to know what's in the future. And I'm saying it's not your business. It's the business of God. Our job is not to try to predict the future. Ours is not to try to fix the future. Ours is to recognize that God is in control, and He's in control of you and me and our situations. And so I go back to the question that I asked earlier. What is the critical question? It's not what they ask politically. Are you better off today when this president took over? I'm asking you, put that to one side and ask yourself this question. Are you better off spiritually in the end of 2021 going into 2022? And so we're going to look at some verses. But before we do, I want to play a video that's going to bring our attention to spiritual pressure. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. We need to focus our lives in such a way that we recognize that we do have responsibilities in life. We do have concerns in life that require our attention. We need to be good stewards financially of what the Lord has given to us. But with all the busyness of life, and I've got to admit to you that the busyness of life has been very real to me over the last little while, because it takes an effort to balance your life so that you attend to your responsibilities and yet devote enough time so that we have time with the Lord so that we can grow spiritually. I've heard folks say that 2020 was the best year for growing spiritually. Why? Because we didn't have to go anywhere. We were locked in our homes. We didn't drive anywhere. Our cars got 3 weeks to the gallon. And so here we were, cooped up, and many, many, many folks grew spiritually from a fear factor. If COVID is as real as it is, and I could die one day, I better get right with God. And there were Christians that says, okay, I'm right with God, I know my sins are gone, but I'm not spending enough time in the Bible. And so that's why I asked you, are you better off today than you were in 2019, or even 2020, and in 2021? And here, what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Philippians, that when he considers all the stuff in his life, he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I might win Christ. And so all the stuff that we have that's important in life, how are we viewing it? Are we viewing it, as he says, as dung, with the objective of having a relationship that's close to the Lord, where he says that I may win Christ? And so from that perspective, I'd like to take a look at our relationship with God and to ask the question again, not only where are we headed spiritually, but do we really recognize who's in control here? Because I can guarantee it, you're not, and I'm not. I have no idea what the stocks are going to do tomorrow. Why? Because I'm not in control. I don't know what's going to happen to my health tomorrow. Why? Because I'm not in control. We just have to ask God not to allow us to see what he's doing, but to accept his will in our lives and to recognize and have a deep sense of comfort knowing that he is in control and wants the best for us. And so having said that, I'd like to go back, and we're going to spend a little time in Isaiah chapter 40. We've got 15 minutes. 14 minutes. Because the quartet took up too much time. But they were good. They were not bad for amateurs, you know. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read it, because this is written centuries before the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. And it declares a prophecy. It declares how finite we are as human beings, and it declares how infinite God is, and then it declares our relationship, or what our relationship with God could be, knowing that he's in control. And so I'm going to read the chapter. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. I'm reading it from the Old King James Version. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, and her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now here's the prophecy. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's a direct quote that comes to fruition in Matthew chapter 3 with John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was one who was crying in the wilderness, announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked things shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come and strong with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth an image, a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning that you have understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes to the high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we ask ourselves, who's really in control? When we take a look at the first verse, there's the prophecy of verse 3. That's the prophecy declaring that John the Baptist, and we can go to Matthew chapter 3, we don't have time to do that, but it's right in Matthew chapter 3 is the declaration of who John the Baptist is, one who is crying in the wilderness. And then a few verses down, that's when John the Baptist baptizes the Lord. And so the Lord then is baptized, and coming out of the water, the voice from heaven says, you look it up, and it says in at the end of the chapter there, it says, and a voice from heaven came and declared, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We see the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's the public declaration that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is now in this world, God with us, God declaring, not only is he with us, but he's my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased in everything that he's doing. He was the only one that ever walked this earth without sin. He was sinless in his nature. He couldn't think about sin. Sin was so abhorrent to him that it says in Habakkuk that he's of holier eyes to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. And so the purpose of the Lord in those 12,200 and whatever number of days was to end up going to the cross to take the punishment for our sins, which was his purpose. And so at the end, in John 17, the Lord Jesus Christ could say to God, his Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. What was the work that the Lord did? It was to do the will of his Father by going to the cross of Calvary and take the punishment for your sins and mine. And so those of us who accepted Christ as our Savior now belong to God. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And consequently, as a result, we can allow God to have control of our lives, to direct us in a way where God's will can be fulfilled in us the same way as God's will was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have that capability? It's because he's given us eternal life, the life of Christ, indwelt by the Spirit, the capability to do just that. And so, why is it that we get all concerned about what's going on politically, economically, and socially in this world? It's because we've lost the sense of the fact that God is in control. Now, just because we've lost the sense of it, does that mean that God's not in control? Absolutely not. God is in control. And so I'd like to just touch on a few points. If we look at verse 4, it says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked things shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So what he's declaring here from a biblical spiritual perspective is all of the mountains are going to lay low, and all of the valleys are going to be exalted. What does that mean? All the crooked things will be made straight. That means that God is equalizing everything. We've often said that death is the big equalizer. Everybody ends up going into the same measurement of real estate. Doesn't matter whether you've got $1 million or not. And so my point here is that God is the great equalizer. And he says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Well, we know that the glory of the Lord was revealed. Matthew chapter 3 does say that God's voice came out of heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What was that glory that was revealed? It was the glory of the only perfect man that ever walked this earth. Not only did he have divine glory, but he had that human glory in sinlessness. What is glory? Glory is just the outward display of perfection. That's all it is. But God is so perfect in his glory that we as human beings in our sin could not look upon it. Moses experienced that. He says, show me your glory. God said, it's not going to happen. Because no one has seen God and lived. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in a little crack in the log, cleft in the rock, and I'm going to put you there and I'm going to pass by. And when I get to a certain point, I'm going to take my hand away and you're going to see my back parts. And then I'm not going to show you the rest of it. Moses was the only human being that ever saw a glimpse of the glory of God. And yet, the wonderful thing is that when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ in his desire talked to his Father about, he says, Father, I've completed the work that you've given me to do. And then you go down into John 17, he says, now, that they may behold my glory. We're going to get to heaven and see the glory of God. Now, the mind-blowing thing is that he says to his Father, and the glory that you gave me, I've given them. I don't know how that works. But the point is that because our sins are gone and we have that new nature, God doesn't see the old nature. He sees the new creature in Christ to the extent that he says, the glory that you've given me, I have given them. And so here we have that glory of the Lord mentioned in verse 5. 5 to 8. We are finite and God is infinite. In other words, he likens the human race to grass. It withers. So I did an experiment once. I said, you know, there's 6,000 years from creation to now, roughly. And so I took an Excel spreadsheet and I put the columns all down into a very narrow, like one character. And I established 6,000 of them like that. And I chose 70 of them. A person's life here is, from a biblical perspective, is 70, so that's 70. And so I blocked out 70 cells. And then I looked at it on the screen. You couldn't see it. And I likened a person's life to be like a flashbulb. You know the old days when you had the flashbulb? You take the picture, you flash, boom, it goes off. You got spots in your eyes, and then it's over. And that's a person's life in the eyes of God. Poof, it's gone. And so we're looking at this and thinking, do we really have any control in life? And so we have, prophetically speaking, going into verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. And in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Well, that's just a reference to John 10. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And the Lord has given his life to die and died on the cross so that we could be gathered into the flock, become his children. And so here we have the fact that he's our shepherd as we relate to John chapter 10. But then it goes on, he says, it starts declaring who God really is when it comes to the control that exists in this world. And it references princes down in verse 23. But just take a look at what he says in verse 12 through 24. Just a few points. He's measured the water in the hollow of his hands. When he created the world, he measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. What does that mean? It means that the water in this world is finite and it was created by God. He knows exactly what he was doing. He meted out heaven with a span. You know, that's just a statement. You know, you go to Genesis, it says, and he made the stars also. Well, how do you define the universe when he just says he made the stars also? There's billions of them. This is the power of God that is exercised in this world. And we're just one little part of this world. Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. And he says, who's directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? In other words, the answer to that question is nobody. Because God is God. God knows everything. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. And he's the one who's not only created this world, but he's in control of it. Because here's what he's saying about them. He says, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. Doesn't matter what Russia does to the U.S. Doesn't matter whether what China's doing over in Wuhan. I mean, it's all affecting us. But the point is that God's looking down and saying, I'm in control of this, and they're just a drop in a bucket. Because you and I aren't tied into this world economically, socially, or politically. We are citizens of heaven. And we need to have a sense of the fact that God is in control, even though we might not admit it at times. Whether we admit it doesn't change the fact that God is in control. And then he goes down and says in verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing. How do you define nothing? It's the absence of something. But then God says, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. I don't know what it means to be less than nothing, because in our finite minds, we don't understand that. But God's view of this world is, nothing. And then he goes on to say, verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth that he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshopper, that stretches out the heavens in a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent therein, that bringeth the princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth as vanity? In other words, what God is doing is he's looking down from the circle of the earth. Now, the flat earthers should have read this verse thousands of years ago, because the Lord sat on the circle of the earth and he's looking down. And what is he doing? He's bringing the princes to nothing. In other words, when it comes to who's running the countries, whether it's Putin or Biden or whoever's running China and the other countries around the world, God's looking down and he's bringing them to nothing because he's in control of this world. We just need to have a sense of it. And I don't have a sense of it at times. I wake up in the morning and I wonder what's going to go on with the economy. You know, how long can I afford this $4 gas? You know, we ask ourselves these questions. But we have a God who knows. And that's why we go down to the final few verses that I want to read that are so encouraging. I know we're a little over time, but let me just encourage you. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. I would encourage you to look up. Let's not look around. Let's look up and have a glimpse of the God of the universe. Let's have a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning when we remembered him this morning. Let's have a glimpse individually in the morning. Look up and recognize and acknowledge that there's a God in your life who's in control of everything, including you. Then it goes on and says, in verse 28, he asks the question, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? God doesn't get tired. He doesn't faint. He's there. And there's no searching of his understanding. Now, here's a good point. Not only is he strong and powerful and know everything, but he understands us. He understands our thoughts. He understands our emotions. He understands the turmoil that's going on in our minds. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 94 when the psalmist David was considering all the stuff that was going on in his life. He writes this verse. He says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. In other words, When our thoughts are tumbling around in our head like a clothes dryer, just stand in front of your clothes dryer and watch the clothes go. That's our thoughts at times. There's no rhyme or reason to it. They just tumble. And what does it cause? It causes worry. Worry's like being in a rocking chair. A lot of activity, but you don't get anywhere. And so we need to acknowledge the simple fact that God is in control of our lives. And he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So if you are feeling a little weak spiritually, are feeling a little down emotionally, and are feeling a little concerned in consideration of the future going into 2022, let's recognize that God is in control. And then he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I've watched eagles. And if you look at them, they're way above the earth. Their wings are spread and they glide. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And what is their vantage point? They see the whole perspective of the landscape. And God is saying that he's going to give us spiritually that same power to mount up with wings as eagle, to rise above our circumstances, and let's have a sense that God is in control of you and he's in control of me and our circumstances. And if we can acknowledge that, he can bring joy into our lives, not having to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I'd like to just end on these three verses. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll end on these verses. Philippians chapter 3. When we get up in the morning and we recognize that tomorrow's ahead of us, we've got responsibilities that we're going to have rolling into 2022. And God is saying, be good stewards. Occupy till I come. Let's do it with the right attitude. Let's do it with the attitude of knowing that God can direct you and is in control of our circumstances as well. And so here's what the Apostle Paul is saying as an exhortation to the Philippians. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our attitude in life. The fact that we might not be making enough money to cover the next gallon of gas is in the Lord's hands. But what's in our hands? It's looking forward to the mark that God is in control, forgetting all of the stuff that's happened in the past. Let's recognize that the Lord is coming. He's going to call us all home to be with him at some point. Some of us are going to get there sooner. But the point is that we're all going to be with Christ. And what is the most important thing that we should have in our lives is recognizing that nothing behind us counts, but pressing towards the mark and the prize that God's going to give us, which is the of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so I would just encourage us as we go into 2022, let's go in with the attitude that amongst all this garbage that we saw falling into the piles, that's just garbage. That's the dump. But we can win Christ. And I would encourage us to consider that we ask the Lord not to control things he is, but to give us a sense of it in our souls that we can have joy in our lives spiritually as we walk with him till he come. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's just commend ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we can not learn anything new, Lord, but just to be encouraged by how powerful you are in our lives. Lord, we just pray that we might have the desire to walk with you, that you would give us a sense of who you are in our lives, that we might have a sense that you are in control of everything, and that those thoughts that are tumbling around in our minds like a clothes dryer, Lord, we just pray that you would settle our minds down and recognize that you have given us a promise. I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord Jesus, you're wonderful. Thank you for the encouragement that we've had from your word this morning. We commend ourselves into your hands as we head into the next year. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.